3 years after the fall of Islamic State's self-declared caliphate in Syria and Iraq, the terrorist group is making a comeback in Africa. With the world preoccupied with COVID-19, the fight against extremism has taken a back seat, creating new opportunities for the terror group. South Africa, Zimbabwe, Angola, Nigeria, and Namibia are now all reporting ISIS terror activity. And there are warnings the organisation has formed a base hub of operations in northern Mozambique. Max Abrams is a leading terrorism expert and professor of political science at Northeastern University in Boston. Max Abrams, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
I think a lot of people thought ISIS had been defeated, that then they were drilled out of Syria, that that was the end of the caliphate and the end of ISIS. How prevalent, Max, then, is ISIS's footprint in Africa?
You know, I don't think that people should be surprised that ISIS is still around. This was a very special group. It was enormous, really, in terms of terrorist groups. Its memberships has come from really all over the world. So it's global in terms of its recruitment. In terms of its operations, where it mounts attacks, they were also, you know, very international. Mm. Even after taking out the leadership, this is a group that was sophisticated in a way with social media in terms of appealing to people all over the world. And so so it's really not surprising that even with the demise of the caliphate in Iraq and Syria, that ISIS in various guises would continue to exist. Metaphorically, I like to think of it in terms of ducks at a park, for example. If you run at them, there's a good chance that they're going to scatter somewhere else. And the same thing happens with terrorists. And so in their stronghold, in ISIS's stronghold of Iraq and Syria, there was an enormous amount of pressure against these terrorists from the United States, from the Syrian Arab Army, from Russia, from the Kurds, from Turkey. And so they really, ISIS, if it wanted to exist, had to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so Africa is a very attractive place for terrorists to thrive. There are many.
Tell me more about that. Why Africa? And Africa, of course, is an enormous continent. So which bits of Africa should we be more specific about? And why is it a good place to thrive?
Unfortunately, many bits of Africa. It is an enormous continent. But if you look at where jihadists are rearing their head, it's really all over the place. I mean, we're talking about in the Sahel, you know, we're talking about Burkina Faso, we're talking about Niger. Mm-hmm. Above that, we're talking about in Libya. We're way to the south, we're talking about Mozambique. Unfortunately, you know, also Somalia, the Sinai in Egypt. And so you have a bunch of different groups there. You have basically provinces of ISIS, and you also have Al-Qaeda affiliated groups, and you also have sort of uniquely local groups. And Africa is very attractive for militants to thrive because they have porous borders. You know, so you look on a map, you see the different countries. But militants don't necessarily think in terms of the Westphalian system. They don't look at, you know, sovereign countries and borders. And so that's very good. And so we've seen a problem with that. For example, terrorists started in Nigeria. Yeah. And from Nigeria, they just radiated outward.
Sorry to interrupt you, Max, but in terms of, we're speaking in broad terms of terrorists and Africa, but we're not talking all ISIS, are we? Like the schoolgirls in Nigeria was not ISIS. So we've got a number of groups. Is there a resurgence, you know, of ISIS? Is there a resurgence of Al-Qaeda? What are we seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint it with too broad of a brush because these different provinces are not necessarily all linked up, and they're not necessarily part of a centralized movement from the original stronghold. Specialists in Africa, they talk about sort of discrete terrorist threats, which are sort of overlapping, coming out of Nigeria, coming out of the Sahel, in the Sinai, for example.
So let's talk about the rise of ISIS then, because of course Donald Trump famously declared victory over ISIS, and there, I think, the US military forces in Africa, there is talk of cutting those back, as they have, as the US has done with its forces that were working with the coalition against ISIS in Syria and Iraq. I mean, is that happening, and what impact is that likely to have on ISIS?
Well, not to be too cynical, but I do think there is a political angle to this story, because the Washington Post ran this story about how ISIS is, you know, on the march in Africa. Mm-hmm. And it's really no secret that the Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, is opposed to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And Trump, very stupidly, a couple years ago, declared ISIS defeated. And one of his talking points when he campaigns these days is his success against ISIS and the fact that ISIS really is a shadow of itself.
Yes.
And that its caliphate has been destroyed. And all of that is true. But I think that the Washington Post kind of wanted to stick it to Trump and say, you know, silly man, ISIS has not been stamped out. Look at what's going on in Africa. So I do think that there's a political motive behind
right.
this, although I'm not denying that there is an objective truth that that Africa, frankly, is awash in terrorism.
Yes,
and
I understand
one of
that.
The reasons, and one of the reasons why, though, is because of the removal of Gaddafi in Libya, which really was a watershed in terms of militancy in that continent.
Okay.
It would lead to problems with its immediate neighbors in Mali and all over the place. So I think that there's plenty of blame to go around, but I certainly wouldn't begin with Donald Trump. I actually
okay.
think
no,
that
no, no.
his predecessor deserves more blame because we were involved in that regime change in Libya, which really destabilized the country in terms of its militancy.
Right. In terms of the here and now, is ISIS still recruiting? I mean, here in, you know, the ISIS attacks in Africa, by and large, have not been on Western targets particularly. You know, here in this country, for instance, we're in terms of terrorism, which much more, or security rather, not terrorism, in security issues, we're focused on, you know, China and other elements, less so on Islamist militants. The world's distracted by COVID. Is ISIS still a threat? To, you talked
yeah.
about it being very international in its attacks before. Is it still a threat in that sense?
Sure. So, you know, you think back to 9/11 and George W. Bush declared a global war on terrorism. And the idea was that the United States was going to take the fight to the terrorists wherever they are in the world. And that ended up, you know, forcing the United States to fight terrorists all over the place, including in very costly occupations that still haven't ended, like in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And I think that there's a growing sense now that the United States needs to be more selective in terms of its counterterrorism, that we can't just declare war on terrorists everywhere. And we need to really figure out whether those terrorists pose a direct threat to the United States. And I have to say that in general, the militants in Africa, although they're quite varied, have not been as internationally minded as, say, the ones that were based in the caliphate. They tend not to threaten. They're not hatching operations all over the place.
Yes.
That said, those who really focus on Somalia, for example, they say that it would be silly for us to get out, and that Al-Shabaab is the strongest Al-Qaeda affiliate and does have designs on attacking Americans at the homeland.
Okay,
So
Max.
I don't want to promise that we won't have an attack out there, but I do appreciate prioritizing which kinds of terrorists are most likely to strike us, and they tend not to be the ones in Africa compared to the ones that were based, say, in Syria.
Max Abrams, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.